Welcome to season 4 of the Fit Farming Food Mom Podcast. Connie is a world champion powerlifter, former bodybuilder, and an elite trainer and nutrition coach. As a movement enthusiast and health nerd, she is here on this show to speak with educated guests and dive into the realm of all things health, fitness, mindset, and everything in between. If you enjoy this show, please do us a huge favor by smashing the like or subscribe button and leaving a review. Now, let's get to the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode. I'm so glad that you are joining me again on the podcast. I have a really exciting episode today with one of my friends, Frank Provenzano. He is a coach and a professional strongman, and his best finish is fourth place at the World's Strongest Man. He is also a combat veteran who has battled and overcome depression, anxiety, and addiction. He has since started a fitness coaching business, bought a private gym, and is starting a family. He specializes in helping people turn their life around even when they think all hope is lost. And he says if he can do it, so can you, but be prepared to work because, as his saying goes, easy was never part of the deal. I'm excited to have him on the podcast. We cover just about everything on this show today. We kind of got started just laughing about life stuff and chatting prior to, and he's like, why don't you just turn this on? Because there's some good stuff in here. So we started recording, and so it's a little bit in before we dive into the real part of the podcast that we wanted to embody, but I'm really excited to kind of have you listen in on all things coaching, mindset, looking at yourself, inner respect, all the things. We talk about it all on this podcast. Before we jump into the podcast, I just want to remind you about LMNT electrolytes. That's right. Element electrolytes are free of artificial sweeteners. They are full of sodium, potassium, and magnesium, which most people are deficient in, especially if you are just getting started on a health journey and you switch over to more clean, unprocessed foods. You more than likely aren't getting enough sodium. So I find I'll have a client get in touch with me and they're like, hey, I'm feeling a little like I have low blood sugar, or I'm feeling a little lightheaded, and I usually get them on some electrolytes and they feel much better. It's actually not a blood sugar problem. It's an electrolyte problem. I also love to take them to my kids' soccer games and stuff. Much healthier alternative than Gatorade, which is actually really not full of electrolytes. It's full of a bunch of sugar and artificial dyes and garbage. So if you want to dive on over into LMNT's stuff, they have a ton of good stuff, including grapefruit, which will be coming out here shortly. I'm not sure of the date of that yet, but it is one of my favorite flavors and it is limited. But pop on over to drinklmnt.com/Connie. Get yourself a sample pack and try out all the flavors. They truly are my favorite. And if you know me, you know I don't tout anything that I don't use myself. And that is one that I use every single day. Also helps you drink water. Anyway, that's all I got for you guys. Here is my podcast with Frank.
Here we go.
Ah, okay. Got it.
All right. So,
what were we talking about?
We were talking about the blue collar thing. You were like,
you were pounding fence posts, and I was telling you that like I've pounded probably thousands of them because before I was ever into fitness, I worked with my hands my whole life. I was blue collar, you know, carpentry, masonry, landscaping, hardscaping, excavation, demolition, all that stuff, and everything that goes along with it. So I had calluses on my hands long before I ever, you know, picked up a barbell. I mean, that's not true. Probably about the same time before I got really into it. Yeah.
Yeah. I can feel that. So funny, funny little thing to piggyback on that. Obviously, I've been kind of the same direction my whole life too. We live on a farm. We're always doing manual labor. Before that, I had manual labor jobs. At my first ever job, actually, I was a welder. So I did a lot of manual labor.
But that's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I was welding for a place over in Ohio. I was big into welding, loved to weld, and so I got a job offer in Ohio, and I picked up from Idaho, and I just straight up moved and went to work.
What was it about welding that you liked?
I still love it, actually. I don't do it nearly enough. I used to do a lot of artwork and stuff with it, but there, I don't know what it is. There's something that I like about, well, I love to work with my hands anyway, right? But something about the watching the whole thing happen just makes, I love to do it. And it's cool. You can glue anything together, right? So,
Right.
but the job in Ohio wasn't really as much fun as my normal welding escapades were. So, yeah, it
Well,
was.
you take the trick is, well, you take something you love, anything you love, and you put the dynamic of responsibility above it, right? You underpin it with responsibility rather. And the trick is to keep it something that you love, right? Which is one of the reasons, like when I started, coaching people remotely, when I decided that I was gonna buy a gym, a little training studio, and start doing this full time, it was like, man, I really, really love that part of me. I love that I eat well. I love that I follow a plan. I love that I have a coach. If I endeavor to make this my career, is it going to be something that I lose touch with? So far, it hasn't. It doesn't seem like that way for you either.
No, absolutely not. And so that's a real, I was loving the direction you were going with this, right? Because I was talking with a long-term friend, and he actually used to be my employer 20 years ago. We were talking about this, and he's like, well, he has established this multi-million dollar business. The guy has got it made, right? But he's like, but it's still work for me. He said, I don't love it. And there's a big difference between what you do, because you absolutely love what you do, versus what I do making multi-millions. He's like, I'm still not happy in my career. So, and I absolutely love what I do, and I'm very thankful for that. And I pray that it never becomes something that is a burden or something that I don't want to do. Now, as an entrepreneur, sometimes we have times where things are a grind, right? And you've got a lot of things you got
Of
to do,
course.
and it can be stressful, but it's still a huge labor of love.
For sure. I mean, I think there's two important notes there. And the first one is we're doing this not to make somebody else money, right? I'm not being given a deadline and saying I have to do this so that I can make sure I do what he says or what she says. I'm doing this to make sure that I reach my goals and that I can provide for my wife and my son, my daughter. Right? You know what I mean? And the other thing is just boundaries, dude. You know this as well as I do. You gotta fucking set boundaries. You must. Hey, can you come in at 7 a.m.? No, because I'm here till 8. No. I'm sorry. There's plenty of time during the day. We can do another day, but like these are my hours. This is where I'm at. Otherwise, you're not. Otherwise, somebody's not getting all of Frank. You know, there's gonna be somebody throughout the day where I'm like, fuck, I don't want to be here.
Right.
You know, just because I wasn't willing to set the boundaries, you know?
Yeah, and that's a huge thing, actually. It happened to me this morning. I had a client send me over her labs, and she's like, I got my labs, here they are. What do you think? I was like, I'll take a look at them tomorrow and I'll send you over a thing. But and I tell people that religiously. I'm like, I got a to-do list, you're on my list now, I'll get it done. But everybody wants to be priority, and we do our best to make them that, but we also want to do our best for everyone. So that's a huge part of things.
Right. What do you use? Do you use obviously, I mean, I would assume it's a phone, right? But you use like Google Lists, or what do you use to keep track of your, do you put it in your calendar? Are you about to tell me that?
I got
No.
a planner, and it's
I will fail so badly at that.
with the caveat of Siri. Like, if you're busy and you're like, hey, I won't name her because my phone will go off right now, but you say that, set a reminder for this and this time to check someone's X amount or whatever. Because the thing is, it's like, you know how it is. You'll be doing something. Maybe you're getting done training somebody and somebody shoots you a message, and in between clients, you see somebody sent you a message and you're like, yeah, I'll take care of that. That never happens unless your dang book's with you. So you gotta
Yeah,
every once in a while, Siri man,
or you
Siri.
make the mistake and you open the message and you no longer have the new message alert. So it sits for 2 days or 3 days and you're like, shh. And it's like, I'm not a bad guy. I saw this and I was like, I'm gonna do this as soon as I'm done with this next client. And then it just didn't happen. And it's not like I neglected you. It's I neglected to prepare myself. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you live and you learn.
I absolutely love that saying too, because it's like, I love each and every one of you and I want to take care of this. I totally screwed up. I've like the last couple weeks have been a three-ring circus for me, because I have a pretty large online coaching base. And then I had over 30 in-person personal training appointments. And so basically I work two different jobs, right? That's what it feels like. It's like you've got your day job where you're training people, and then you have your other job where you're coaching people online, and they have to intersect. And so I spent a lot of time working really late, but I was just saying that the other day. It's like I said, I have a group, so all my clients are in a group together too, in case I need to go on vacation or something like that. I tell them, hey, I'm headed out this day or whatever. But I was like, hey guys, I think I got everybody on my list. If something has not happened that I promised you and I did not follow through, please let me know, because I think I got everyone, but I want to make sure that the ball didn't get dropped on anything. And
like, I know you guys rely on me and think like, I don't know if they think that we don't make mistakes. Like, because sometimes you get that, like, oh man, how do you eat that food and still stay in shape? Blah, blah. Yeah. So I don't know if they think that like we're like the epitome or whatever. I've thought that about some of my coaches. I'm like, how the hell are you so perfect? But like, we're not.
No.
We're not. We're not. We've just done what you're trying to do for a little bit longer. And we're trying to just relay the knowledge that we have accrued over time.
Yeah.
And some people are good at relaying that knowledge, right?
And
some people aren't. One of the things I'm trying to get better at is to diversify my scope. And you know, admitting you're not good at something is not always the easiest thing to do, but I find that I work really well with athletes. And when I switch over to the gen pop, I need to really switch my whole paradigm, right? And in the past that was difficult. I'm finding it less difficult now, having some success with what do we call them, everyman or the everywoman.
Big difference.
And you know, it's a journey. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with not being great at everything.
Right.
Look at my strongman career.
Well, so it's a big difference too, and that's the hard part. And so when people ask me what I do, I'm like, oh, well, I'm a functional nutritionist, but I also coach athletes, but I also do this, but I also, it's very hard. It's like all these different separate jobs, right? And you have to coach one much differently than you coach the other. And let's go there, like performance enhancement and stuff like that, right? I'm always like, do I talk about this? Do I not talk about this? But as when you coach athletes, it's something you have to handle, because whether you handle it or not, they're going to go do it. So it's something you have to know how to mitigate and how to work with. And maybe I would suggest, and I don't suggest PEDs, I'm not saying that, but maybe I would suggest something entirely different for an athlete than I would a gen pop person. They're entirely different. But when gen pop people see these things, or even some of the stuff that I do on the internet, they're probably like, oh, whoa, what the heck? But the thing is, they're like, she doesn't preach that. There's a big difference. For the general population person that's looking to get healthy and lose weight and improve their lab markers and all the things, it is a far different paradigm than for an athlete that's trying to recover and be the peak and the best at everything that they're doing. And sometimes, you know, I think in the words of our buddy Stan Efforting, competing in anything is not healthy.
So if you want to be healthy, don't compete, he says. I listen to him all the time. I love him.
Yes. So it's many different things that you have to do to make that switch. And let me tell you what, it's a hard balance to make sure that, especially because like I said, all my clients are in a group together, right? Which can be interesting, because you got some people posting some things and other people are like, well, what? And I'm like, hey, well, listen, you're not trying to get stage lean, or you're not trying to lift 300 pounds or what. Like, there's big differences.
Almost like you would need to have two chats. I know that's just another layer, but because I feel like you have to field a whole lot more questions that would just be non-existent if you separated the two. But I mean, you know what I'm seeing now, and you haven't heard about it too recently is, you know, these big guys, they're unfortunately were passing away, the bodybuilders on stage. And I don't know what's happened in the past 8 months, 6 months, but you haven't really heard about it. I don't know if it's happening less or if we're getting smarter, but like, you know, the way that I used to do things protocol wise and the way that I do them now are just night and day. And, you know, I posted my blood work up. I think I was a month out from a show. So I was going. And it was pretty good. Better than a lot of my people that I have that are just regular everyday people who are eating terrible. And, you know, I have coaches reaching out to me, some people saying, like, that's pretty freaking good, but it could be better. And I'm like, how if I'm on site, you know, like, but well, I guess what people are trying to do now, obviously, is that the black method, you know what I'm talking about. Wider is better, less high, you know what I mean? More stuff, less dose, and just keep yourself healthier year round. There's no reason to blast, no reason to cruise. Just keep yourself at an acceptable level year round. Mind the big rocks, mind the sleep. Mind the diet, mind the recovery, mind the rest. And, you know, I have some people who are like, man, I want to do gear. I'm on TRT. I want to take this to another level. So, like, if I have an everyman who's like, yeah, I'm on TRT already, and I want to just maybe push this a little bit harder, I say, okay, we can have that discussion. You give me 1 month solid of this plan, and I put them on something. And if they can comply, then we will have a discussion. If they can't comply, then we don't go any further. Because if you're not sleeping and you're not eating, there's no reason to go anywhere near PEDs. Right?
Absolutely. And that's a huge thing right now you're seeing actually with lots of people. I can't tell you how many people I've worked with. They want to do all this stuff. They're like, well, my lifts are stagnant and I'm at a huge plateau, or
Right.
my body doesn't look a certain way and I want to do this. And I'm like, well, how many hours of sleep are you getting? Oh, four. Like, oh, I have whiskey every night and
Right,
I
right.
like, and it's like, dude, like those are the people that you're on Instagram chatting with them, right? Like, 'cause I got a lot of people that I've met at all these things, and they'll drop questions. I've been doing the anonymous question link, and
Yeah.
you'll get some questions in there, and then they'll say, oh, well, that was me. And I'm like, okay, so what's going on here? Like, what? And they're like, well, I don't sleep. And I'm like, well, okay, well, your time, which you and I are on far different time levels too, it's like 12 o'clock at night. What are you doing? You have a day job? What time do you go to work?
Right.
Like, where, what's going on with your phone? I'll tell you the biggest, honestly, this is an amazing game changer, but getting your phone out of your bedroom at night, like, take that. I mean, and I'm telling you,
Yep.
like, people don't get this. You got so many, let me get on, this is a totally outside of health, but you got so many failing relationships and shit like that going on. And I'm like, well, how are you supposed to have a relationship or a love life if you're scrolling on your phone in your bed every night, right? So,
The phone has it built in. All you need to do is put your, I mean, it's not all. So like, yeah, getting your phone out of your room is a very big step, but I think that's a huge, I think that's a whole nother level. You have to climb a set of stairs to get there. And I think that set of stairs looks something like put your phone in sleep mode. 6 or 5 a.m. or whenever you plan on waking up, or ideally 30 or 40 minutes after you wake up. So let yourself adjust to the day, right? Before we get all that external dopamine in us, right? Let ourselves adjust. And then an hour before you actually fall asleep so that there's no interference. So that's maybe step one. And I think maybe step two, at least in the bedroom, right? Because I'm a couch guy. I do couch first and then I do bed. Sometimes I fall asleep on the couch. I'm not perfect. I'm not freaking perfect, right? I think if you're in the bed and you're on the phone, the next step would be to actually take that phone and just put it down. And that seems to be the hardest step because we're getting that dopamine. You know what I mean? And then after that, if you can do that, then there's no reason you can't put it in the other room. You know, the caveat there would be though, you know, who do you have on your friends list that can call through? If there's an emergency, do you have a family member that's ill? Do you have something that needs to go on? So, for example, right now, I keep my phone in my room. I have it on sleep mode. I have it next to me. But there's certain calls that if they come, I need to have them. It's my give and take. But I also take a lot of stuff to help me sleep, so I'm okay.
I ran into that actually at one point. My husband was, he goes to work at 3 a.m. and he was driving and he hit a huge deer and it totaled his car. And he tried to call me like 10 times and I didn't have my phone on me. I do get worried about stuff like that, but I'm also kind of weirdo, like with the EMF thing and like the, so another thing is like, I like to, if I do have my phone for any reason near me, I put it on airplane mode. So then I'm, you know, I got all these little isms that I work
with. How do they get through if it's on airplane mode?
They don't. That's the problem. So right. It's again, but I mean, come knock on my door. I don't know if I'm important, you know where I live. That's a hard one, right? And I totally agree with it because, like I said, I actually ran into it once being a problem where I leave my phone in my office and nobody gets a hold of me in the morning.
Sure. Then we talk about that EMF, right? And there's a whole bunch of these isms that we worry about, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, some of the isms are like seed oils, processed oils, you know, what else? There's a bunch of
artificial
like
sweeteners. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Artificial sweeteners, EMF, you know, so let's go EMF. If they say that even your phone in your pocket is going to sterilize you as a male,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, just recently, you know, in November, I found out that's bro science because I've kept my phone in my pocket for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm not sterile.
Mm-hmm.
So like the otherism is like being on cycle is going to make you sterile. I mean, it can.
You're not. You should back up a little here. You're now expecting a baby right now. So like and you've been competing. So
that's what I'm saying. No. It happened the day after World's Strongest Man 105. So like, but then again, there's also that threshold we talk about. Once you hit a certain level where the switch goes in the other direction,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Where you shut off, say X amount per week, and then you hit another X amount and it turns back on. I don't know. That's neither here nor there, I don't think, but the isms are funny. I feel like they can go both ways. And that's one of the reasons like what we do is so crazy because it's so person to person interdependent.
Mm-hmm. And I guess one thing I would love to contribute to that, Frank, is that I always think of it like this. And I tell my clients the same thing. I'm like, if you have a bucket and you are filling it with all these things, you're filling it with who knows what, all your bad diet, poor choices, blue light, you know, EMFs, the bucket just starts to freaking get full and overflow. And then who knows what else, right? Like environmental, you got people that have lots of environmental toxin exposures from their work. I was actually one of them. So I worked in dentistry for 14 years and constantly cleaning solvents and doing all of these things.
Oh, really?
Really, I was exposed to a lot of crap, right? I feel like your bucket can only get so full. So you don't have to, I tell my clients this all the time, don't have to be obsessed with these things. But if you can lower the exposure or minimize the time that you have it in your pocket, things like that, then overall, it's going to add up over time, right? It's just like that savings account where you put a couple bucks in it every year and you see it grow. Like same thing with that bucket. If we can minimize our exposures and take out things, then we have room to put shit in when we want to, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. Being mindful versus being obsessive is the difference between being stressed the hell out and being mentally sound, peaceful. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just mm-hmm. be mindful, be cognizant of what we're doing. Right. For sure. I agree.
So we're having a good time talking about all the things. And I feel like we could do this forever because we both are very aligned in a lot of our things. But first of all, got you on the podcast because you have a story. And I want to let people know who you are, what you do, what's your story, and then what got you going down this path.
Oh boy, where am I going to start? So real briefly, I had a very, very good childhood. I was a high school athlete. I was okay, whatever. Stop that. I'm going to reverse. I'm a professional strongman. My last competition, I took 10th in a world level competition. And in the previous world level competition, I took 4th. That's my best finish to date, and I'm very proud of it. What makes that finish that much better is the previous year, I came to a crescendo and the end of my battle with substance abuse, yeah? So about a year before November of last year, I was to the point where I was drinking myself to death. I was drinking myself around the clock to death. I had had this business started already online, and I was coaching people in person. I was trying to, and I just had gotten to a point with my overall health where it had deteriorated to the point where I couldn't digest food. I was literally, excuse me, it's not perfect still, but I was literally throwing up every meal I ate. And I guess due to the gut disturbance and just the lack of overall well-being, I really gave in. You know, I was a daily drinker, and I had made that work, right? Of course, it was a problem, but I really gave into it, and I became a round-the-clock drinker, and I just couldn't stop. So eventually, the final place I went to was a hospital, a veterans hospital in East Orange, New Jersey. And I was like, hey guys, check it out. This is my situation. I need you to detox me, and I need you to do it safely. And then you need to send me to rehab, completely forgetting about my stomach not working. But anyway, about 3 hours or 4 hours into that whole ordeal, I started to sober up, and I started to be like, nah, fuck this. I'm out of here, and get violent. I was restrained to a bed, which I think they told me I broke two hospital beds. Mind you, I'm running and gunning. I'm lifting weights still, so I'm big, I'm strong, and I'm angry. And I broke two hospital beds. I think I assaulted an orderly, and they ended up sticking me. So they put me out, tried to bring my blood pressure down. It was like 190 over 110, and I was my anxiety response is very compounding. I'm very easy to go sympathetic, or I have been in the past. I go sympathetic very easy. So they put me under, and it ended up, they couldn't bring my blood pressure down, so they put me into a medically induced coma for a week. During that time, I was informed that they needed to give me two to three times the amount of drugs they would normally give somebody. I don't know if those numbers are accurate. I don't know anything about what they were giving me. But I wasn't out. I had a very profound experience while I was under. I was in a very like alternate awakened state where I could move. It was like 1 week of a lucid dream. I remember all of it in very, very clear detail. It was very cool. And it was like the top or the bottom, if you want to look at it that way. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, that's enough. You know, since then I have been able to, in a year after that, I did a bunch of different things. I fixed my gut for the most part. I bought a personal training studio. I took fourth in the world, and I'm doing well over six figures in 1 year. Complete turnaround. And it's been a wild ride. It's been a wild ride. I don't know how else or what else you need me to talk about there, but my story was one of blue collar, hard drinking, hard partying, military, couple of combat deployments, compounding all of those previous life experiences, coming back, doing more blue collar work, doing more drugs, doing more drinking, trying to find myself. Where do I belong? Where do I fit? I find strongman. Doesn't it actually click until a couple of years later, and a lot of good support from a lot of good people. And then the incident that you have, those people still didn't give up on me. And through the love of my girlfriend and my family and my close friends at the Strong Box, I will now be well over a year out of that situation. And I'm not fucking looking back. Mm-hmm. If I can do that, if I can change my life that drastically, there's no reason. There's no reason you or anybody else can't. You, I'm talking to you people out there. Mm-hmm. There's no reason. You know what I mean? Anybody can do it if I can do it. Believe me, because I was in bad shape. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are asking like, yo, this happened to you a year ago. Where do you get off saying like coaching people? And it's real simple. It was very black and white, like, that's it. Just it.
Right. And I, this is why I wanted to get you on the podcast, because people feel like they're stuck, right? And they feel like they can't do it. And they make excuses, I feel like, in their head as to why Frank can do that, but they can't. Well, Frank must have had a better support system than me, or Frank must have had this, or you know what I'm saying? Like, we have a tendency, and we all do it in some manner, to make excuses for why we can't, when in reality we can. It just requires the execution.
Right. And there is a there's a gap there. For some people, that gap is very, very large. Mm-hmm. Right. And whether that be situational, generational, or just a fucking excuse, or just an excuse. I mean, it's unfortunate that I have to say what I see a lot of is just people pity themselves, or like, without even realizing it, subconsciously they want that victim mentality. I see it a lot, like, oh, but I can't, it's because of this and because of, no, it's because of you. Once we say, this is me, this is my thing, once we take personal ownership of it, that's it. You know, it doesn't hurt to have somebody in your corner who has helped people through these situations, or has been through that situation themselves, right? Or somebody like you, for example. I don't know, and I don't think that you have a history like I just described. But in the last half hour, you've told me, I think, 7 different jobs that you've done, right? So through life experience, our lens changes. And we have perspective on things that we wouldn't normally have. So somebody who's worn a lot of hats, you know, is accessible to nearly everybody. Right. So having somebody in your corner is big.
Well, and I would like to go further into that. So you're like, you said, okay, well, I'm only a year into this. So people are like, well, Frank, how do you know you're only a year into this? But I think there is something to be said for that, because you see this everywhere too. You see this everywhere. You see this with coaching, especially. You see this with jobs. They'll be like, well, so I have 25 years worth of experience and Connie only has a year. Okay, that used to happen to me when I was very first got into this, and it was pretty awful, right? But the thing is, experience is great, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you learned something from it. And we have to keep that in mind. We can read as many books as we want, but if we don't learn anything from them, how does that matter? So depending on the person, time isn't exactly an indication of what they know, or their success, or their actual credential. Does that make sense?
It's perfect. And I'll go a step further with it. Just because you have learned it, just because you have internalized it, does not mean that you can teach me how to do it.
100%.
Right.
You see, that's a thing. So back when I was bodybuilding, I had a coach. She was something else, but I love to learn things. It's like my favorite thing. I thrive off of like learning different techniques and styles. And why do you like to do this? But so-and-so says this is wrong. Like, what's the difference? What can we pull out of this? It's like, I thrive off of that in any situation that I'm in. And you said 7 different jobs. Well, there you go. I like welding. I wanted to learn from everybody. I want to learn every kind. I want to learn why. I want to learn, why do you do this, but you don't? Like, it's fun, right? Anyway, I was just fresh into bodybuilding. I had only been into it like not very long. I hadn't even done a show yet, right? I was prepping for a show, I think. And my coach was an IFBB pro, and she was teaching us posing, and there was a posing clinic somewhere. And I was like, I want to go over to this posing clinic in Seattle. And she's like, why would you need to go over to that? You have an IFBB pro coach here. You don't need anything else. And that it's still in my head. It's still in my head, because I was thinking in my head, I was thinking, fuck you. Actually, that's kind of what I was thinking. But, I see this a lot. And so like, for example, I love powerlifting right now. I want to go hang out with all the people that know things. Right. And my current coach knows a lot. I have a different current coach now. I kind of cut a couple situations going on. It's a little confusing, but my best friend and the guy that coached me to all these things over the last year, he gets a little bit jealous over me working with other people sometimes. But the thing is, I want to learn. I want to learn why. Their way may not be right, but let's try it and let's see why. And let's see, I want to learn, basically, right? So, and a lot of things make, or here's a good one. Sometimes everyone explains it differently, like you said, and that's where I'm bringing it back here. And I'm just going to use an example. So previous coach for a year, I have a hard time sitting back in the squat. I'm an equipped lifter. I got to sit back like I'm sitting on a freaking bench, right? And I can't do it. And I've had multiple hip surgeries, so I have a little bit of a hang up there. And anyway, so he's been trying to explain it. He's like, just sit back, just sit back, just sit back. Well, I have a new coach now. I go down to train with him. He says, Connie, hold my hand. And I hold his hand. And he goes, now sit back. And I sat back and I was like, oh shit, that's all you gotta do. And here for a year I've been struggling with this. All it took was a different explanation. Same thing. There's not a right or wrong. Sometimes it's the way you explain it.
Sure, I totally dig that. The whole like knowledge searching, the seeking of knowledge. I think that if you have a coach who says to you, nah, don't worry about talking to that guy, I think you should question that. I think that should be a red flag. I can say that I have talked to coaches in the past, and they have asked questions like, why did you do that? And I said, well, because this, and this, I wanted to learn. He says, and what did you think of it? That seems like a good answer, right? Like, what did you think of it? Or my coach now, who is Andy Triana, who, you know,
I love Andy,
who I absolutely adore, is changing the way that I look at physical training. I mean, every single time I talk to him, I'm like, okay, this is just not something you hear of or have heard of in the past. So it's very cool. I think we're actually on a new frontier with what we are doing and them guys over there. I know he's working with Jake and Joe Sullivan, Jake Benson and Joe Sullivan. Mm-hmm. And they're coming out with a new book, a training book. It's really cool. I'm very excited to read it. But if I were to say to him, hey, listen, I'm going to do a consult with Stan Efferding. I just want to ask some questions. I think he'd probably be like, cool, let me know what you learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's totally confident. He knows his stuff. I think confidence is the issue there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think being a lifetime learner is huge. And I mean, I've had, like, it's really cool. I've had coaches reach out to me, or I'm in a lot of mentorship groups and stuff. So I'm always talking to a lot of other coaches, but I've had people reach out to me and they're like, hey, I see you're doing this or that. And I'm like, yeah, I'd be happily explain it to you. I recently had a mega coach reach out to me. He's like, hey, I was creeping your Instagram and I saw you have Hashimoto's. And he's like, I have a strongman competitor. I have a hard time keeping her healthy because of Hashimoto's. What do you do? Right. And I was like, well, a little hard to explain over an Instagram message, but if you want to set up a Zoom meeting with you, I'll tell you everything that I know. Like, it may or may not be right, but it's what works really well for me. I have a couple Hashimoto's clients, works well for them. We could chat about it. I would love to do that. People are like, what, you don't charge for that? I'm like, no, because first of all, how many people are you going to help in the process? Second of all, it's great to chat with other people and understand what they're doing. Right. And why?
Well, of course, too. And, you know, like if you gave 15 pieces of information to that individual and got one that you didn't know in return, you are coming out victorious. You're coming out with a win. Mm-hmm. Just one. If you come out with nothing and all you do is help somebody else, you won. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think this whole thing is cyclical. It's just one big wheel. It's all going to come around. It's all going to come back around. And I think that goes with everything.
Yeah. So, you know, like
attitude, everything.
So client wise, and you touched on something big here, and this is a big thing with Andy, those guys are in a revolution because they are not only working on the body, they're working on the mind. And this is a huge thing. And they're working on the mind from every level. We're talking people that lift heavy, like what's going on with your neurotransmitters, right? What's going on with your nervous system? Because your nervous system controls how well you perform. If you're not taking care of that, then you might as well be pedaling your bike backwards.
Yep. Like, so, hey, I want you to meditate between sets here. Yes. But I'm supposed to be listening to Slayer and fucking shredding weight right now, bro. What the hell? But no, like for me, you know, he's, you know, for a guy like me, I'm easily sympathetic, like we talked about. Mm-hmm. I need to practice staying chill.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, one of the things we work on. We work on a lot of different stuff, but the whole biology side of things, it's crazy. It's a whole new frontier, and I'm just happy to even be a tertiary witness to it, you know? And I just thrive to learn more. Strive to learn more.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, well, you get into that with the, you know, there's so many things. I've got a client, she's in the end of a strength phase, right? We basically mock prepped her, right? She's wants to get into powerlifting, a former bodybuilder. And she is in that last strength phase where you start to get stupid. Right? I don't have any other way to explain it. People always are like, hey, what's harder, powerlifting or bodybuilding? Bodybuilding, clearly. I was like, there's some things, right? There's some things. If you've been pushing your nervous system really hard, moving lots of weight, your brain starts to get a little stupid. Weird things start to happen. You have a harder time contracting your muscles. Like, it's because
you go in 80%, feels like it's stuck to the floor. Like, what the hell was that? I got a meet in 2 weeks.
And that's the scariest part, right? I feel like 2 weeks out, you'll like, for me, bench is my baby, but you unrack the weight and you're like, oh my God, did somebody misload this? Like, what's going on? You get nervous system fatigue, and I turn into a bitch, because I'm like overstimulated, and it's nothing to do with, it's all your nervous system. And I was always like, well, I would love to see you get on some choline. Do you take any choline? Like, let's do this or that. And she was like, oh no, why? You know? And she's also a coach and pretty knowledgeable. And I was like, cause it's going to help you out with this a lot, sister. So like,
do you like the injectable choline?
It's my favorite, but a lot of people are not into needles. So that makes it a little bit harder.
Right.
And it makes it a little harder to suggest to people too, especially, guess I would say a lot of the athletes I coach are more holistically based right now. I have some that are not, which is fine. But if I'm like, inject yourself with something, they're like, holy shit, what are you talking about
here? Right. We've made it so taboo to administer via injection.
Mm-hmm.
When really it's a very benign thing. Something, for example, like carnitine that has such a wide application. Can you think of five people in your clientele that wouldn't benefit from injectable carnitine?
All of them. Every single person. Like, I could even give that to my Gen Pop client and they would see improvements.
Hey, I don't want to do testosterone. I don't want to do steroids. Okay, perfect. I've got something you can use that can help you. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to do crazy fat burners. I've got something you can use that will help you.
Right. And that's the funny part is, like, you have these things and I want to post on it, right? I want to be like, oh, this is amazing. Like peptides. I love peptides. You want to post it on there, but anything in a vial, buddy, you better be careful, especially as myself, as a functional nutritionist, right? And people are like, what? And I'm like, listen, there are things that, like, vitamin D is a shot. Vitamin B is a shot. You're not having to act like digest it. And like, how many people are missing gallbladders and have digestive dysfunction and they're taking a bunch of shit that's not even getting any good, right?
How about glutathione?
Yeah.
Glutathione.
You can't even take that. And people take it all the time and they waste their money on it. And I'm like,
liposomal.
Right. Yeah. Like, you can inject that stuff and benefit, but it's a huge, there's a lot of taboo around injectable stuff. So it's difficult sometimes to get people to understand that.
What do you think about oxytocin while we're on the peptide thing? I'm going to be very direct.
I haven't actually used it or messed with any of that stuff. I'm more of the, like, Ipamorelin, Tesamorelin, BPC 157, TB 500. I like the healing peptides a lot. So you were talking about digestive health. Back when I got done bodybuilding, I had major SIBO infection and my digestion was effed. And that's when I got into peptides because I was like, and I had a distal bicep tear at the time. And I was like, what? Like, okay. So I, the funny part is I started taking BPC 157 for my digestive problems to help my gut heal. And my distal bicep tendon ended up healing as well.
But how? It's supposed to be a local only thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right? Sure. No, it worked. And that was when I was like, that's when the peptide rabbit hole started happening. But oxytocin, it's, I know it got, it has great benefits. It's not one that I have dove down. How about you?
I played with it. So just very recently here, I had post this past competition, right after this past competition, I was given an anti-inflammatory injection during the show. Toradol because I was went in injured and I got a staph infection from it. I was just dirty. It happens. It's actually the first one I've ever gotten from an injection, but they immediately put me on two different types of antibiotics, which as you know, just absolutely thrash your gut. And I'm very sensitive to depression and sadness because of my past and everything else. And when my gut is happy, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I was just miserable for days. And we originally had some oxytocin just lying around because we were going to use it as a pain mitigation technique for the competition. That never happened. But I implemented kefir. Because I love kefir and I was having trouble eating. So I got the calories, a little extra calories from kefir. I implemented kefir and oxytocin for about a week. And let me tell you, on about day three was the big one. I woke up day three of oxytocin. My mental, because when my stomach was thrashed from the antibiotics, I was like dead.
Mm-hmm.
But that oxytocin, I'm talking minuscule, micro dose. Pico dose, small, was enough to like bring me around and make me feel optimistic,
mm-hmm.
like better. It was very, 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 very good.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have like one of those negative feedback loops. As I understand, it doesn't have a negative feedback loop. It doesn't like shut you down.
Mm-hmm.
It actually promotes normal production, even when you stop taking it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's to be seen, but I'm pretty happy with my initial roll into it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about as sciencey as I get on it.
I would love to back up a little bit because you're like, when my gut is bad, my mental health is bad. And know people think I'm crazy. I tell my clients, I'm like, your gut health dictates your mental health.
Everything.
It's your second brain. And this is what actually got me into my health journey. I'm not sure if you know this, but I have a son that had a lot of issues. And Western medicine was failing me. It was a real bad situation at my house. And I went to this conference about kids that have mental illness and things going on. And I had already kind of dove down the rabbit hole, but she confirmed everything that I ever started to learn about. And I ended up going, they started talking about gut health and how it's affecting all these things. And that's when my life changed because in 2015, I came home and I emptied my whole house of every single kind of food that there was to be had that was bad. And we did the GAPS diet. It's a very strict gut healing protocol. Dr. Campbell McBride did it for healing people's mental health problems. And when I went to that conference, that was like, I knew that not only my kid needed it, I knew I needed it too. And I was like, and I'm telling you what, we did 16 months of this really strict protocol. It's not really one that probably everybody could adhere to. But if you want something bad enough, here we go back to this, and you need, and you're desperate, yep. And you need a change, you do it. And I had, we'd always eaten like healthy, right? We didn't eat out. We didn't eat fast food, but we were eating pasta sauce with pasta with frozen veggies or something like that. May not seem bad, but you got all these, if you have a digestive dysfunction, it yep. all adds up, right? Or
pasta and pasta sauce, forget about it.
Yeah, I mean Bisquick biscuits, right? Like, I mean, I made it from home at home, right? Every meal had a huge carb, and like, you know, I did protein and a carb and a side dish of some kind every meal. And it was, I started reading the ingredient labels, and that was when it was like, holy shit, there is sugar and preservatives in everything in my house.
Every right? single thing.
Everything. The whole thing had to be emptied out. And then you go to the store and you're like, can't have that. Not happening. And that's when I learned so much about food. But the crazy part was the change that my whole family, if I'm going to do it, my son's going to, everybody's doing it. It's not like that kid, oh, I have one kid that's sensitive to gluten, but everybody else can have muffins and cupcakes. That's not how it goes. We changed everything. And not only myself, but my husband, my kids, everybody got healthier.
Mm-hmm. Energy and levels through the roof.
No more back pain, no more wrist pain, no more, like, everybody, I was 200 pounds at the time. I ended up being 110 pounds. Like, there was a lot of things, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that was when I learned how important the gut was. And it sent me down this lifetime rabbit hole. And I tell clients this constantly. You get people that struggle with depression. They go on an antidepressant. Next thing you know, they can't lose weight. They've got all these problems, right? And sure. I'm like, if we heal your gut, I know it's hard to believe, but if we heal your gut, you're going to feel better. It's a crazy thing.
I tell you what, too. I was on for up until that hospital stay for about 3 months after the hospital stay, I was on antidepressant medication for about 6 years prior. Usually, that's a life sentence for antidepressant because you can't get off the goddamn things.
Mm-hmm.
Through, you know, what I call like the five fingers, I was able to get off them. Sunlight, sleep, single ingredient foods, movement, and sport, right? Like walking. I mean, that was it, the five fingers of fitness. And it, I was able to wean myself off of an antidepressant that I had been on for years and never felt better. So like, you don't have to make, there's no argument. And the thing with it is too, and this goes back to ownership, taking ownership of something. You can directly control the outcome of how you feel. You can directly control it. It's all about what you put in your mouth. So like, you know, just do it, right? It's so much more difficult than that. We get it.
Mm-hmm.
Habits and everything else. But yeah, man, all my people have single ingredient foods. We might start with a little bit of fun stuff here and there just to wean them on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I want to lose weight. I want to get lean, as healthy and as fast as I can. Okay, got you. Here's your plan. Oh, can I have pasta? You said as fast as you can, right? Mm-hmm. You said you want to get healthy as fast as you can. So no, we're not going to put pasta in your plan right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you were saying like, oh, hey, look at the back of this. Can't have that. I think the further you get from living like a complete maniac, the more you can be like, this has five ingredients or six. Maybe I'll have that this week
mm-hmm.
or once or twice. And be okay, because it's a sum total. We know it's a sum total of what we do. It's not just this little snapshot.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But yeah, man, you're like, you're way qualified in, how many like certifications do you have? You have a lot, right?
I have a lot. It's so funny. People are like, so what's your education in? And I'm like, well, I'm a nutritionist, but I didn't learn shit from that. I make it a point to spend 15% of my income every year on education.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost cleared six figures last year. So that's a lot of money.
Weird. That is a lot of money.
And it's, I love to share my information with people, other coaches especially, because I think that's really important. But it's also, the population needs to understand that I spend a lot of this of money on this so I can be really good at it, so I can't give it away for free either. You know?
Well, yeah, you raised your value. You got to get paid for the work that you do. You got to pay for your knowledge, not necessarily even your time.
Mm-hmm.
It's the time you spent already
getting to this. And I'm sure you can agree with this. Here's the worst part about it. the more you know, the more you don't know, and the more lost you feel. And I know that sounds funny, but
only if you're intelligent enough to be humble. Yeah.
It's almost sometimes like I joke about, I'm like, I would love to just go back to being a personal trainer that gave people chicken and asparagus and rice and sweet potatoes and just went, okay, here you go, starved you, whatever. Because then I was so much more comfortable with what I was doing. I felt sure of it, right? And I was like, yeah, this will get you where you go, here you go. And now everything is questioned. Everything, right? Everything. I mean, and the more you know, you're like, shit, now I don't know this and I gotta know this. Like, and it's awful. I'm telling you, it's awful. Like, so everyone's like, what's your plan for next? There's like, I've got about 6 or 8 different courses I want to take that are all like $7,000 or $8,000 a piece, right? And they're like, well, which one are you gonna do first? And I was like, well, I think I'm gonna do, nah, maybe I'm gonna do, like, I don't know, because I'm like, I want things that support understand the betterment of understanding every single pathway in the body. And I'm like, gosh dang, I feel like I'm getting into rocket science at this point, right?
Well, I think, you know, you have a good outlook on it. You know, people are always afraid to start. Well, not always, but people are afraid to start something because they're like, hey, I don't want to go back to school. It's going to be 3 years later and I'm still going to be in school. But like, that time is going to pass anyway. At least now you're going to have 7 or 8 courses, $56,000 later, of knowledge in your brain that you know, right? That's going to contribute to your overall worth as a coach and, you know, what you can give people. I think that's huge.
What I find, though, outside of education, mostly the best, most valuable knowledge I have gotten out in my career is taking courses from other coaches. Like, taking courses from other coaches and mentoring with other coaches. And do you know who Alex Kaikel is?
Of course I know who he is.
I would love to do his mentorship because then you're getting into a whole new realm of shit, right?
Do like, you speak that language?
I want to speak that language. I don't speak it. I can say like C and gracias in that language and that's about it, right? Like,
right. Same. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, I want to speak that language. I want to go to that country and I want to learn that. And outside of what he does, the knowing those pathways and how these things affect us and how you can improve someone's health. I mean, right down to this guy's right into healing people without having to have a shoulder surgery and things like that. Right. And it's just another piece of like, okay, well, how can you bridge this with Gen Pop and how can you, and it's, so I get excited about this stuff, but that, again, how many mentorships are you going to take? Like,
right.
Like, well, basically I make minimum wage right now because I have this extreme quest to be a lifelong learner.
Yeah. Well, eventually that's going to balance out because your worth is going to go up. You know what I mean? Your value is going to go up. Right. You know, sometimes like Alex and Andy, they have worked together, I think, in the past, and, you know, they speak that same I don't even want to say educated, but it is educated. That ultra educated, learned biological language that when they say it to me, it's like, and I'll find that when Andrew puts up, because we have a little mentorship going and I'm learning quite a bit, and I learn 2 weeks later. So like when he'll put something in the plan, he'll be like, this is what we're doing here, yada, yada, yada. And then I'll take something that I heard in a podcast and something he and I have discussed, and then the workout from this week and the workout from last week. I'm like, I get it. I get what we're doing. I still don't understand some of this stuff, but like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to. One of the things I'm working on right now, obviously, I just started this, you know, 7-8 months ago, the one-to-one training. What I'm working on now is really focusing on making that as efficient as it can be. And then my next step is also going to be reinvesting some of what I've earned into furthering my education classically. the courses and so forth. Mm-hmm. What I'm having trouble doing right now, or what I'm in the process of working on right now, rather, is moving times around so that I actually have a dedicated block or two or three where I can fit some time for continuing education. Mm-hmm. I've got a child on the way, a couple of months here, August. So I'm trying to prioritize the things that will matter most. And then as soon as I can hit the secondary and tertiary things, that's what I'm going to do.
I love that triage. It's a huge part of things, right? Like what yeah. is most important? I tell people this all the time. I take things in my head and I'm like, triage. Okay. What's bleeding and needs to be handled right now? You know, what's just right. a sprain and they can wait in the chair for a minute. Like, it's a huge part of things. So I love hearing that from you.
Yeah. So what's we got, Con?
So as a coach and as in the school of life, what do you think would be the most important thing for people to do when they want to change something that they feel is an overwhelming task and can't be changed?
Ooh.
You've been there, so.
Yeah. You have to wipe your slate clean. You have to wipe your slate clean. You have to be willing to know, willing to accept that the way you have been doing it is wrong. You have to accept that you have been failing. Right? And immediately thereafter, you have to be willing to accept that, or you have to be able to say, okay, I'm going to give whatever I'm told to do, or whatever this new thing that I've read about, I have to be willing to give that an honest, no shit attempt. I have to do it all the way. I have to see if this will help. And then the secondary to that part is I need to be able to be patient enough to see it through. Hey, I did this for a week. I didn't see any results. No shit. Hey, I did this for a month. I'm not really seeing too much. Well, no shit. We have to give it a little bit of time to work. You didn't go from 110 in high school or 120 in high school to 185 in you know, 3 or 6 or 8 months, or even probably 2 years. It probably took you 5 years to get there, right? So what in your brain makes you think that you're going to be able to cut for the summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can apply that across the board to anything. Hey, I've been going to sets, that's in Jersey. I've been going to a cardio boot camp 5 days a week, and I've been lifting 3 days a week. I've also just been eating twice a day, intermittent fasting, and I've cut carbs out. I don't know why I'm not losing body fat.
Yep.
Oh, man. So where do we start? Oh, but I really like the gym. I really need the gym. So you can apply this to every end, every part of the spectrum, wherever somebody is, like, just because that might actually work for somebody and it might work for a couple of months for somebody doesn't mean what you're doing right now is good for you. I had a lady, she's a doctor. She's 54, I believe, and definitely overweight. She's probably 40% body fat. And she broke one of her bones in her foot doing CrossFit. I'm like, okay, so we're not going to do CrossFit for some time. We're going to slow it down. We're going to do some resistance training. We're going to watch what we put in our face. Yeah, but I really like CrossFit. I really like Olympic lifting. I'm like, Olympic lifting, I'm not saying it's not for you. I'm saying it's not for you right now. Just be open-minded.
Mm-hmm. This is a huge thing right now. Actually, you see people, they're like, well, so-and-so does it. So I want to reverse on this because you said that. So-and-so does it. Okay, well, so-and-so might be doing it and they might be posting it on social media and they might look a certain way, but is it actually working for them? Because they might look a certain way now, but when they have metabolic resistance later on, and they cannot lose weight, or maybe they are looking like they look great on social media, but they feel like absolute dog shit. And we can talk about that. How about, I mean, you know, your fiance does bodybuilding competitions. Mm-hmm. You look the best you've ever looked, but you feel like you died. And
back to stand.
But it's easy to get on social media and be like, I got my workout in today, and put a smile on for that picture or that 30 second video. And then when you get home and you can hardly walk to your car because you're so exhausted, people don't see that side. All they see is the glamour. So X might be working for so-and-so at CrossFit, but what's really actually going on?
Right. That's the other thing. I think, you know, you asked me what my biggest thought process would be for somebody who wants to change themselves as quickly as possible. I don't know if this goes along with that. I think it does. I think the biggest detriment that we have, while simultaneously being our biggest advantage, is ease of access and information and social media. People see social media and just boom, take it as face value. They take it as, this is what it is. Social media is like blood work. And I'm not, social media is like blood work. It's just a snapshot. You're just seeing that one little blip. There's like 23 hours and 59 minutes more of that person's day that you have no fucking idea about. Mm-hmm. These two, the fit couple that you love and see and shredded, who knows that they're killing each other at night before they go to bed, you know, sleeping in different, you know what I mean? Like, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you have to realize, like, what you're seeing is just a production. It's just an act. It is mm-hmm. just social media for the most part. I mean, you know, my lifts are real and stuff, but
some of them aren't though. Right. Like there's some of them aren't. I mean, I think we try to keep it pretty real, but some of these, like, there's a lot of fake shit going on out there. Like, I mean, so yeah, it's all crazy. I mean,
you know, that guy who said he primal's a guy who was, I'm not going to say his name, but like, for anybody who knew anything was like, that motherfucker's not eating balls. Are you serious? You're going to out there go eat raw meat, think you're going to look like that? Like, come on, just ask one of us. That's the other thing too. Like, hey, you're like that because you take this, this, and this. I'm like, I think so. Like, you don't understand. But what would your piece of advice be?
Oh, shit. We're going to turn this around, aren't we?
What would your piece of advice? Well, sure, because I'm going to learn from you now. What would your piece of advice be?
I honestly think the first thing that somebody needs to do is look in the mirror and get honest with themselves. Like, we lie to ourselves so much. We get back to those little things, right, where we tell ourselves little lies to help ourselves get through things. I think really you have to have that talk in the mirror with yourself. And I say that because that was where a lot of the things started with my fitness journey, right? And when I stopped lying to myself, it was a game changer, right? Yeah. And stop making excuses. I get shit happens. There are shit happens experiences, but so much stuff is stuff we had control of, but we let it go down the tube. So you got to be real with yourself and stop making excuses. Like, it's easy, right? We all want to make excuses about things. Like, I accidentally forgot an exercise for my workout on Friday. And my coach was like, where's the video of you trying rear delts? I mean, we're rehabbing a shoulder. He wanted me to see if I could actually do it. Mm-hmm. And we had been doing pretty easy workouts up until then. So I was just writing things down on a notepad real quick. I didn't have my training sheets going on. And my current coach is very old school. He calls me every night and tells me what he wants me to do the next day. And he doesn't like technology. He's not going to be making spreadsheets. He's got it all written down in a freaking notebook. And he's telling me what he wants me to do. And walking me through exactly how he wants me to perform the movement. Like, with dumbbell rows, it's like, he's like, no, I do not want you making an arc. I want you bringing it back towards your hip. I want you engaging this. Okay, so very old school in that fact. Well, my workout's been real easy to remember up until this last week or so. And he snuck that one in on the end. He's like, I want you to try some kind of rear delt fly. I don't care what kind it is. I want to see if we can start getting some rear delt engagement. I was like, oh, cool. Sounds great. I'll try that. Well, I didn't have it written down because I thought, oh, I'm going to remember. Like, I have all these other workouts and I forgot. So he goes, where's the video of the rear delt flies? Did you try those? I was like, no, I didn't. And the then part of me wanted to, I didn't want this guy to think that I'm a loser, right? And I'm a cheater or whatever. Part of me wanted to make all these excuses.
And like, say like, yeah, I did him. I just didn't video it. It felt
no,
all right.
I wanted to send it. I wanted to be like, oh, well, I haven't been doing spreadsheets and I didn't write that down. And this because of that. And then, like, I started thinking all these things, right? And then instead I was like, no. Did you know that saying, no, I didn't do that, I forgot, is a sufficient answer? You don't need to make an excuse for why you forgot and all of the things leading up to why you forgot. I fucking forgot.
10 lashes. Boom. 10 lashes. You're not going to get whipped. You know what I mean? You're like, all right.
I forgot. Doesn't mean I'm any less dedicated. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got my shit together. But I failed to make sure that I documented things properly to go in and actually do what I needed to do. I forgot. Boom. Screwed up.
Yeah. How do you handle clients that refuse to fill out training logs?
Dude. Oh, why do you got to do this to me, bro?
No, we don't have to go off this. I actually have to go pretty soon.
I know you're killing me here, but
we don't have to go into that. I just had that experience. I was doing some work before this. And I'm like, how would you like me to give you your next week's work if I don't know what you did the week prior?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just fill it out. I'm not asking much.
Yeah, it's you can't. Well, as a coach, the hardest part about that is people don't understand how much we use that. So
right,
check in forms, like, okay, if Sally, we want to see if Sally has been doing, I'll use dumbbell rows because that's in my head right now, been doing 50-pound dumbbell rows up until today. All of a sudden, she's doing 35, and then the next day she's doing 35. What's going on? Like, what's going on with that?
Uh-huh.
And is she tired? Do we need to deload? Like, is there something going on with this? Or another example, we got to make progress. Is Sally pushing herself and starting to try to lift heavier on the days that we tell her to lift heavier? Like,
yep.
We use a lot of those tools and people don't realize it. And it makes it very hard for us to do the best at our job that we possibly can.
Right. I agree with that.
So, okay. Well, people want to find you. Where do they do that? So they can follow your journey.
Okay. So my business website or my business Instagram is proconcepts_. My personal Instagram is at FrankiePro105, proconcepts.net. But you're not going to find too much there. The best way to reach me is my personal Instagram at FrankiePro105.
I love it. Well, hey, thanks for shooting the shit with me today. This was a great episode. I think there's a lot of pearls to be taken out of it.
You know, I just want to say you and I have been going back and forth on Instagram for some time, and I'm really glad that we got to talk face to face.
I appreciate that, and we'll have to do it again. It's funny. I have conjured some pretty epic relationships with people on social media. And I think that it's really valuable because we can all learn from each other.
No, I totally dig it. I totally dig it. And I'm going to probably be reaching out to you for some stuff too.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for tuning in. To learn more about me, my online programs, or to inquire about coaching, please visit www.connienightingale.com. And remember, nothing in the contents of this show is intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any illness, and it is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult with your primary care physician before implementing any new health protocols.